This morning, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of the Acts of the Apostles. I want to, does everybody recognize that little phrase right there? The Acts of the Apostles. It's just not the book of Acts. If you understand the book of Acts, do you understand that these are the things that the apostles did? That's what the book is about. All of these are about what apostles did. And their lives and the things that went into that. Now, they mentioned a few people that were not literally of the first 12. Of course, so Paul, I'm going to be talking about right here. I'm in the 24th chapter of the book of Acts. And it's talking about how Paul, even though one born out of time, as he described himself, was truly an apostle. And there's places in there that talked about Stephen. It talked about a lot of people. But these are the things that were done very early in the church. And they were done by people that we all know and we care about. You know, what they did was important. And they gave us a great example. And in the 24th chapter, toward the end of the chapter, at verse 24, we find the Apostle Paul. He is in prison. He has been presented before Felix, the governor. And I want to talk a little bit about that today because, you know, sometimes you pick up a subject and you've really got a lot you want to say about it, right? And you don't get to finish it. You ever been there? Usually it's when we shouldn't finish it, but we want to finish it anyway. We should just shut our mouths, but we have a hard time doing that. You know, I got more to say. Well, sometimes you just shouldn't have said it. And sometimes we got a great God that says, be quiet in a way that only he can say you can be quiet. I don't know, you swallow a frog, you know, something happens to you. So, anyway, Paul's got a message that he's preaching. And that's the understanding of this passage. It's not about he's on the defense, he's on the offense in this passage. But let's read it, Acts 24, 24. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning faith in Christ. Now, let me explain that a little bit. Felix is the governor. He takes the wife, Drusilla, who happens to be a Jew, but she was also already married to another king of another small area, small country is what they call him. But he takes her, he falls madly in love with Drusilla, and boom, there they are, they're together, husband and wife. But he's calling for Paul, and he probably wouldn't even ask for Paul, but because of who Drusilla is, she had a background in the Jewish religion, and the exposure of Paul, what he was preaching, was really to be a fulfillment of what the Jews were looking for, a Messiah. So he calls for Paul concerning faith in Christ. And as he reasoned, and this is Paul, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." You see, it wasn't about defense. Paul was definitely on the offense. He was taking it to him. He was bringing the word. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't a prisoner. They were prisoners of him. And they called on him to come and preach this message. He goes on in verse 26. He hoped also that money would have given him. You know, that's like a lot of people. You know, he wanted to be bribed. Might have given to Paul that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. It wasn't a one-time affair. Paul preached the truth straight up, straightforward, made no bones about it. This is true. And he wasn't ashamed of it, and therefore it captivated the very knowledge that he was given, that Felix was given, was a, you know, is something he couldn't escape. The Holy Spirit was at work. And he is at work in the lives of someone that most people say it could never happen, he will never change. But that's not what God said. And so Paul preaches the truth to him. And more than likely, after that time, he kept calling him back. He wanted to spend time. And when it says he communed with him, I mean, he literally spent time with him. You know, one-on-one time. And I'm sure Paul wasn't sitting there talking about the NBA game he saw last night. He's probably talking about those Baylor Bears that just won a national championship. Woo! Okay, never mind. Okay, moving on. That's a very loose Greek translation for you. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room. In other words, Festus became the governor. Felix's time at that place, he's moving up the ladder. So Festus came in and took over Felix's place. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. You're just like Pilate, had no guts. Even though he was an unmerciful person, he just felt that way. Now, some people say, you read commentators, and some people say that this was Paul's defense before Felix. But like I said, no, Paul was really preaching. And as he got this opportunity, he was really laying out before Felix the gospel of Jesus Christ in hope that Felix would repent of his sins and become a Christian. And no matter what, as some people, well, I know it's all about money. Well, no, I think it was a whole lot more than that. You know, the historians always want to tell you, Felix was born a slave. This is a little background for you. Felix was born a slave. And because he was a slave, he won his freedom. He worked it out. I don't know how he managed it, but he did manage his freedom. And in the freedom, he rose in power. He rose to a position of governor. Way beyond what anybody would ever give a slave a chance to get. But he was a crafty person. He was a person that knew exactly what to do. But being a slave to start with, his whole life had been colored by that. It showed up in everything that he did. He governed with authority of a king, but he had no guidelines to go with that. And therefore, he always ruled like a slave. He was insolent. He was demanding. He treated people as if they became slaves. These were the people that he was over that shouldn't have been treated that way, but that's the way they did. So in spite of the position that he gave, as high as he climbed in that right, he still was a moral pygmy. That's exactly what he was. He had that right there. He may have been a big shot here, but in his soul, he was just a little person. I think all of us have met people like that. They think they're big, they think they're wonderful and all that, but in the reality, the very righteousness that he had was nothing within his heart. He could be big, he could be all wonderful, but in his heart, he was a nothing. That's right. He was still in bondage. No matter what he said, he still was in bondage. You know, people can talk about, well, I've accomplished this, I've done all this in life. Well, you might have done every bit of that, but you're still in bondage in your heart. He was a man that was in bondage to cruelty. He was a man in bondage to lust. That's how he got his wife, Drusilla, and that's what he did. He continued to do this. But one day he wakes up and he's gone to church. Well, not literally. He didn't get up and said, I think I'll go down to the church and see what's happening. No, he said, I'll just bring the church to me. And he calls for Paul. And Paul comes to him. He brought God's messenger in his own house. You know, people want to talk about free will. Well, that was free will. He chose that he would come. And then verse 24, he says, and after a certain day when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and he heard him. He listened to him talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in spite of their past, and I've already enumerated the past, in spite of all the dirty present that they were living in, they still wanted to hear what the man of God had to say about Jesus Christ. He was a man with a hardened heart, but God has a way of softening a heart. He knows how to break through the crust, break through all the things that we put up, all the facades, everything about it. This was Felix's big day. This was his opportunity. All he needed to do was take that one moment right there and stand upon that right there. But he didn't. He listened, but when it came right down to it, it's like so many of us that want to speak, we want to see people say, you know, I wish I could do sometimes like some of my independent Baptist brethren used to do. They beat you over the head till you said, I'm going to give my heart to Christ just because. so you'll quit beating on me. Hey, people, I'm being truthful. You know, I'm not making this up. It was true. And they think we've done a great thing by winning them. If the Spirit of God doesn't move upon your soul, you didn't get it. I don't care whether you said, I'm willing to take it or not. When I got saved, I remember my best friend, Butch Real. Some of you remember Butch. He was a big guy. I was about this tall. He was about this tall, and he was big and all this stuff. I thought he was going to hit me. Whether you want to be saved or not? Yes, I'll be saved. Just don't beat me. Well, that was the mentality that people have about it. But this once, Felix was in charge. And he calls for Paul. As bad as it was, as bad as his life was, he wanted to hear the word of God. Now, you need to ask, well, why? Why did he want to? Well, many people have good ideas about it. Well, one was curiosity. You know, that's why you go down the highway and the wreck's on that side of the road and this side of the road is going, because they're all gawking to see what the wreck was, and then they cause a wreck on the side that they're on. They all want to see that. Well, maybe it was curiosity. But here is a prisoner with the skill of a lawyer. Paul knew how to speak. He was the attorney laying out the whole proposition before the judge, if you will. But the judge was on trial. And in spite of who Paul was, in spite of his context, Felix had an admiration. It was grudging. I can't get that. But he had an admiration for the Apostle Paul. There was something about Paul that commanded that presence. And who could that have been? Well, it was God in his heart. How do you present something? Because he believed in what he presented. And it wasn't some ordinary prisoner that, as Felix had probably faced many, many times. This was someone that confessed that this man has an ability and I need to hear it. So it may have been out of curiosity. It may have been out of boredom. You know, I don't know what they had to do in that day. Maybe the horses weren't running that day, or, you know, the chariots weren't on fire, or whatever, all the other stuff they did. But this man had won his freedom from being a slave. And now you've got the Apostle Paul that's coming to preach to him, but he was still in bondage in his own heart. He may have been free outside. He may be free in the physical sense, but he wasn't free in heart. Do you realize that the name Felix is happy? Yeah, he chose that for himself. He chose to have a name that said, I'm happy. I believe I'm going to have all the pleasure I want. This was the description of who he was, but he wasn't happy. And the pleasure that he sought for was in sin. And it has its season, and soon it's gone. And there's nothing left right there. He needed a new thrill. And so maybe he just chose it out of boredom. I want to hear him. The third thing that it could be like, maybe he was looking for that money. Maybe he just wanted material gain. Maybe he was looking for a bribe. Now, you can't imagine that anybody would ever want to be bribed. Look at Washington, people. Oh, boy. He was really wanting, he thought maybe the church would come up with some money and pay Paul's way out by bribing him. I guess he didn't realize the church is just like it is today, dirt poor. You know, we couldn't even feed the mice that we have around here. But this is what had taken place in his life. He threw out a smokescreen. I think he still wanted to hear what Paul had to say. I think he wanted to hear the ending of the message that he was preaching. He wasn't trying to sell something. He was giving him his heart. Felix had a heart that wanted to go other places, and he ends up going to other places. But at this point, maybe it was, I need a bribe. Would that have solved everything for him? It might have set Paul free, but that wasn't God's choice, and it wasn't God's plan. Maybe it was about, I just believe in giving people the benefit of the doubt. And I know that's real easy to pick on people. It's real easy to say, well, they're the kind of people that deserve these things. But you ever stop to think, man, maybe all they want is to hear someone tell them, I love you? And that's literally what Paul was doing right there. Maybe he had a hungry heart. Maybe Felix truly wanted to find out what God had for him. Maybe God stirred that heart. And like many others that are hopeless in this world, that are hard people that you would never, ever think would ever get saved, God said, I have the ability. All things are possible with God. I baptized a man here years ago that by his very account, he would say, I'm not going to get saved. You'd look at him. His whole life was led in a very hard way. But I remember him crawling up those steps to get in that baptistry to be saved. Yeah, see, God can break the hardest heart. God can change the most vile person. All he has to do is have that opportunity, and he does. You know, motives are okay. I mean, you know, they're important. But what was the supreme importance? What was really, really appearing in his life? There could be a lot of reasons why people would pick up. This is why Felix did what he wanted to do. But you know, have you ever chosen something only to find out you went there because your wife told you you had to go? Where is she? Oh, there she is. But I'm not done with the story yet, dear. It'll be okay. But once you get there, you realize, hey, I guess I am going to have a good time. That's a shock. Never mind. Okay. But you get more than you asked for, all right? You really did. You found out more than what you really wanted in the deal, and it turned out better than what you thought it was going to be. That was Paul's hope for Felix. He wanted the best for him, even though it looked like he had nothing to offer. But Paul had everything to give. So what did you think Paul said to this sinner? What did he say to his wife? Did he jump up and beat him over the head about adultery? I don't think so. Did he point out the terrible past that he had? Did he pick up on all the things and really hammer him over that? No, I don't think so. That's not what he did at all. Suppose that he just for a moment, you and I could sit in the same pew with Felix and Drusilla. Maybe you could sit right there beside them and listen to the message that was coming their way. I could see that there was a heart of love right there. See, because the only difference between a Felix and Drusilla and you and I is that there's maybe one degree difference, and that's it. We are sinners that need to be saved by grace. God didn't put a sign on their sin is worse than your sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all of us need what God has. So what was the message? Now, I know when I've read the message, when I've read through this passage, I didn't notice that he ever used that God loves you. He didn't have to because Paul, everything that he presented, showed them that God still loved them. That should be the message of everybody's heart to people. We should show by our very actions that we love them, that we're not judges, that nobody signed me up to sit on somebody's throne to make a difference in their life. And that's what Paul did. He showed them the love of God. Maybe that's what attracted Felix so much. Maybe it was that he did not spend the time talking about his slave days, didn't talk about how he got what he got today, all these kind of things. He simply said, no matter what your background is, no matter what has happened before, I want to give you this. And out of love, he presented the gospel. Now, you know what happened. Felix got scared. The Bible says he trembled. And that is a perfect description. And that is accurate in the Greek. It would be, he literally trembled because the Spirit of God was moving. And he trembled to the point that said, "Hup, I got to get out of here." You know, even though he was the only audience, he and his wife, you know, he said, I got to go. And what did he do? The sinner says, I will call for you in a more convenient season. Nothing but an excuse. You say, well, that season never came. My friends, the gospel is in season all the time. He could speak to him any time. So what did Paul have to say to him? We go right back to the verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. Righteousness, the first thing. Paul laid out before this man. He reasoned. I like that word. He didn't smack him upside the head. He didn't say, you sorry piece of junk, you're going to hell. That's not what he said to him. He reasoned with him. He did not rant. He did not rave. He didn't throw his Bible. He didn't do it. He didn't beat the air. He didn't do any of those things. What he did was simply laid out before him. Not some sob story. He laid out the truth in love before this man. And it had power. It had a power that would speak to anybody, because there was sanity in the things that he said. You know, that's what should be done. Put it on a level people can understand it. Take it and preach the word just straight out. And therefore people will gain from that very thing. Or you can be biblical and Christianese and all the other stuff that you get, and they don't understand anything. What did Paul have to say to Felix? He had to say, you've got a heart hunger. I've got an answer. I got something I want to give to you. So he spoke intelligently, which really attracted Felix. He spoke as one that was not a slave or not a prisoner. And he gave to him, this is what it is to walk in sound mind. You got to live right. You got to do what is right. What was he saying to him? Sin is insanity. You're crazy. If you follow this path, are you crazy? If you continue on that, ask the prodigal son. I mean, think about it. He had everything under his father's house. Where did he end up? He ended up in the pig pen. And he came to himself, the insanity finally came around and said, what am I doing in a pig pen? How is it that I would be right here? What kind of stupidity would lead me to be in the pigs? See, the prodigal understood. And so did Felix. He understood. Righteousness is sane. It is. It's still today. Doing what is right, it's vital to Christianity. In fact, Christianity without righteousness is nothing. So you can tell me, well, I've been saved. If you're not doing right, you're not doing anything. You're doing wrong all the way. Nothing will ever, ever substitute for doing the right thing. It just will not happen right there. Peter and John, they go into the temple, they get arrested. They stand before the magistrates, they're laying all this up. What did they have to say about it? They made this statement, said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you be the judge. You be the judge. I'm going to obey what God has to say. Oh, well, it might get you killed, so what? I'll be with God. It'll be given to me right there. So he reasoned of righteousness. But then he reasoned of temperance. This is something that Felix didn't know much about. Felix had been a slave, but once he got set free, there was nothing out of his control. There was nothing that was unlimited to him. And he went right after it. That was his biggest problem. He said, everything's good. I can have anything that I want. So he reasoned with him of temperance, of self-mastery, of self-control. Do you understand self-control? Sometimes you do, sometimes I don't. Depends on where the barber fixed the right dessert. You know, there is no self-control if that's like that. I should have gotten amen out of a couple of you guys. I know you. Amen. There you go, Ronnie. You got it up there. Okay. He was talking to a man that was out of control. And he was certainly out of control. He participated in every orgy that he could get himself into. He did everything to fulfill his own lust. He knew nothing of self-mastery. He knew nothing about self-control. He knew nothing about any of those things. He was overwhelmed with his passion. He was overwhelmed with his appetites. And all he did was try to satisfy them over and over and over again, but never found what he really needed, peace in his heart. That's what he was looking for, but he never found it. He didn't realize that self-reverence, honoring what God has given. He knew nothing of that. He knew nothing about self-control. And that was the sad part about it. I can promise you this, Paul knew exactly what he needed. And he preached to him temperance. Something that, you know, man, that'll get you in trouble. Maybe that's why he got up and walked out. I don't know. But he still preached it. He laid it out to him. That was this man's greatest need, and it was temperance. So he reasoned of righteousness, reasoned of temperance, and then he laid something on that's going to be really true in our lives even today. He reasoned with him about the judgment that was to come. I had a man ask me just yesterday about that. He said, do you think that God's going to judge the world like he did in the Old Testament, Sodom and Gomorrah and all the other things? I said, yeah, I do. I believe that God is going to continue to do that. I know it's been years. Preachers of the past used to preach on judgment all the time. I know that you don't hear a lot about that today. It's a rarity in some churches. They don't want to hear about judgment, but the Bible speaks very clear. There will be a judgment. God is constantly judging this world every day, whether we realize it or not. You do wrong, God's going to make sure that you understand it. God's going to make it that way because he loves you. The world may not see it that way, but I promise you, he's not only going to judge the world in that day, but he's going to judge the individual. He will judge every one of us. Aren't you glad you're in Jesus? Aren't you glad the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed you from all sin? Man, we walk in the light, and the light was shining on Felix right here. The only problem is Felix refused to see it. How many of us have refused to see the light that God is shining on us? Don't say you never did, because I know better. You know, the Spirit has a way of speaking to us. He has a way to show us some things, but we have a way that we want to go, and there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. God had given Paul to shine a light upon Felix's life. He didn't come there to judge him. He said, I don't have to judge you. The light judges itself. And so for some measure, whether it is night, he had the capacity to see, he just chose not to. You see, that's free will. And every one of us have experienced that. If I don't want it, I just close my eyes. Well, you can't close your eyes to what God gives us. You'll hear the truth. And it was preached, but you don't have to respond. You don't. It's just a fact of life. Not everybody responds when the truth is preached. But that doesn't stop the Holy Spirit from preaching it. That doesn't stop him from doing what he's doing. Paul reasoned of righteousness. He reasoned of temperance. He reasoned with the judgment to come. Well, what effect did that have? What effect did it have upon Felix's life? You know, I really would expect him to laugh in his face. Yeah. You know, I stood in the very spot that Paul stood when he preached to Felix. Yeah, it was great. It was incredible. I'm standing there, and I'm looking out on these stone steps, and it's a stadium, I guess you would call it. But right where Paul would have stood to preach to Felix, he laid out to Felix the whole of his life. And he didn't stop without preaching all the truth. Until Felix decided that exit stage right. You know, he had to hear everything that Paul had to say. How did he respond to that? I mean, what did he do with it? Well, you know that he got up and ran. Isn't that what sinners do at times? Isn't that what you did when God called you at times? Isn't it what you run and you hide and you try to seek out something else to just, you know, get your mind off of what the Spirit of God is saying? But the Spirit of God has a better way of doing it. And he continues to blow you out of the water till you get it. He didn't laugh in Paul's face. He didn't do anything. It wasn't scorn. He was not mad. I mean, at least not according to the Bible. It didn't say those things. Here's a preacher preaching to a man straight up, straight out. This is what he gave him, and this is where he did. It was plain. It was to the point, and he knew that the message was for him. I love it when people preach that way. Just lay it out. Say it straight. You know where you stand, because this is what the Word of God says. The Bible says that Felix trembled. You would tremble under the mighty power of God. If you've never had to tremble before God, then I'm sorry, you've never met God. If there's never been tears over the life that you've lived, then you don't know him. Because when God speaks, it would cause you to tremble. All the Felix would say is, I've heard enough. He couldn't take any more. Then over the next 2 years, the message would still come. Paul said, I didn't get to finish my sermon. I think I want to keep on preaching it. As for the next 2 years, I'm sure that he went right down that line. Righteousness, temperance, and judgment. That's what I have to offer you right there. But the problem was that Felix never trembled again. There comes a time in our lives when we forget and we've heard it and we don't tremble any longer. You've sat in the pew too long. You've worshiped the church, you didn't worship Jesus. And it's a sad part of life. Felix had missed the great opportunity that God had given him. But that doesn't mean God's not faithful. He'll continue to come back and come back and come back. So you got to ask the last thing. I started with it, I'll end with it. Why? It's always the big question, why? Was it out of ignorance that Felix responded the way he was? No. No, the light had shone right there. What he did, he refused to give God a chance. You know, sometimes we feel that very same way. We think we have the answer, then we realize we don't have the answer. And then we say, well, if I don't have the answer, then God doesn't have the answer. Now, how ignorant is that? I mean, how really? I mean, think about it. We want to make something happen that we feel this is the right way to go, that this is surely this is the intelligent thing to do, and it doesn't take place, and so we give up. And we say, well, God can't do anything. God can do all things. There's no limit to what God. So why? Was it ignorance? No, it wasn't ignorance. It's just that he decided he didn't think that God deserved a chance. He was so full of himself, he did not think it. But he was moved. He wasn't just moved, he was deeply moved. But the difference for Felix, he was unwilling to pay the price. Could you imagine coming from a slave to freedom? How difficult that must have been. And this is one of those, I give this up. I give it up. All I have to do is pay the price. How about his wife? How about Drusilla? How do you think she responded? You know, she looked upon this. She knew what Paul was. I'm sure she even knew of Paul long before she married Felix. I'm sure she had all of those things. She heard a blazing preacher preaching, and she watched the man that was in control of everything trembling. She watched her husband tremble. So who was superior? Paul was. She knew it. But she was the wife of Felix, and she couldn't say it. But I'm sure that she had everything to do with Paul coming back and coming back and coming back. Don't you want to hear Paul some more? Wouldn't it be great if we could talk to Paul? You see, Felix didn't dare cross her. He didn't. He knew that he loved her so much that, you know, he wanted to keep her. And now that he was free, in his own heart, he still remained a slave. It's a sad part of that life, and it was sad for him. How many today are so religious? There have been many religious people, but they're still in bondage. Tons of people, church people everywhere. But it doesn't seem to satisfy them. And they can't be satisfied by God because they choose not to be. They will not pay the price. They will not yield unto God. Anybody, everybody can find what God has for them if they simply choose to. All of us can find that very thing. And we don't have to wait till we die to get it. We can have it by simply dying to ourselves and opening our hearts to him. Paul had an unfinished sermon. Felix walks out. But he said, I'm not done. And he finished his sermon. He finished what God and God alone had given him to preach. I don't know if Felix ever responded. Never read about it in the Word of God. I don't know. Didn't find it in Josephus' letter about what took place. All I know is that Felix left. Festus came in. I don't know what happened to Drusilla. I don't know any of those kind of things. But I know this. They were given chances. And the given chances. And over again, God gave them a chance. What happens in your life? What happens in mine? What happens to those that we think that there's just no hope for them? God said, I am a God of giving a chance. I've not written them off. The opportunity is always going to be there. Do you have anybody like that today? Just as the song sang that we had this earlier today, we've come too far. Home is right there. All you got to do is come home. All you got to do is give your heart and let God do what He does. There's where the blessings lie. There's what God wants to do. You see, the sermon, aren't you fortunate? You think you've escaped it? You haven't. Once you've seen the light, once you've heard the light, the Spirit of God will continue the sermon. He will continue and continue and continue. You may escape it for a little while. You may go, na, 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 na. But that doesn't deter the Holy Spirit. It didn't for Felix. It didn't for Drusilla. It didn't for anybody. God said, it doesn't make any difference, Paul. You've got the best gig in the world right here in the capital. And Paul continued to preach. And the word was always going to be true. Felix was a case. But how many of us have cases like that? How many of you have been set free? You see? How many of you thought that you'd ever be there? Not. No. But this is how God works. God will continue to bring and pour out His Spirit upon you until He brings you into line. Because He's faithful to do that. An unfinished sermon? Well, no. It got finished. Whether he responded or didn't respond. Whether it's a Brother Dave Kistler preaching and you respond or you don't respond. Whether you raise a hand for prayer and then don't come forward. Okay. But that doesn't lessen what God has done and what He's doing. Always keep that in mind. The next time you pray for somebody that you prayed for over and over and over again, believe God. He is the one that answers the prayer, not you. He's the one that will see it through, not us. He's the one that will make the difference.